Good evening, America. Welcome to the Inside Scoop. A recent poll in CNN said that 84% of Americans feel the government is broken. What does that even mean, to have a broken government? Well, I suspect liberals are upset because they elected Barack Obama by an overwhelming majority. Democrats have more seats in the Senate, even after Scott Brown, than any time in 30 years. And yet, where's the agenda? The agenda that Obama promised. Why specifically in healthcare is there no public option? Conservatives are upset. They lost the election. They don't have their guy in power. They don't have their ideas there. We're even talking about healthcare reform. Conservatives, of course, were in power for a dozen years and very carefully made sure we did nothing about healthcare reform because they support the current system. They're not happy. And what about independents? Those of us in the middle, moderates, well, they're not happy either. They can't understand why Washington can't get anything accomplished, why the majority and the minority can't work together in a bipartisan fashion to get something accomplished. Now, this is broader than just healthcare. It goes into the stimulus package and all kinds of things that I may have time to deal with today, but I specifically want to focus on healthcare because, after all, Washington has spent a year talking about ways to reform the healthcare system. You'd think they'd have something by now. Why don't they? I would suggest the reason that Washington doesn't have anything to account for it is really related to different philosophies. See, there are real differences between Democrats and Republicans, between liberals and conservatives on healthcare. And I've actually written it up on my website, marklevineradio.com, Competing Philosophies in Healthcare Reform. If you listen to the summit debate, if you listen to the Republicans and Democrats, you can find there's a basic difference of opinion between them. Let me give you, for example, the Democratic view. Democrats believe, Democrats believe that every human being, even poor human beings, even children, even victims of domestic violence, each human being is a person with an intrinsic moral worth. Democrats believe no one should die or suffer unnecessary pain and agony merely because they are poor. A five-year-old with treatable leukemia, Democrats say, is a terrible life to waste. Republicans believe that every corporation, even those that make massive profits off human misery, even those that gamble with taxpayer subsidies, even those that give bonuses to incompetent managers or bribe lawmakers, every Republican is a person with intrinsic moral worth, and every corporation is a person with intrinsic moral worth, and no corporation should suffer unnecessary loss of profits merely because some poor human needs health care. Humans are expendable, after all, but corporations live forever. Let the five-year-old with leukemia die, Republicans say. Corporations are just too important. And a corporation with a $400 billion taxpayer subsidy will be a terrible political donor to waste. After all, without such boondoggles, who would pay for Republicans to be elected? So what is the compromise position? Republicans say they will agree to health reform so long as no human person gets in the way of a corporate person's newly discovered constitutional rights to make a profit at human expense. Think I'm exaggerating? Did you listen closely to the 7 hours at the healthcare summit that occurred this week? Listen to the real differences between the Democrats and the Republicans. The Democrats are looking, let's face it, for a way to cover every American. They believe that even if you're poor, you should be able to get healthcare in the richest country on earth. Republicans strongly disagree. They say if you are sick and you are poor, you're on your own. It's your fault. Take care of yourself. If you're disabled, if you're a child, well, that's not our fault. Is it my fault that you have a disabled sick child and you're too poor to care for them? No. I didn't cause your child to be sick. It's not my fault. Don't tax me to pay so that your child can live. Why? Did I give your child birth? No. Now, Republicans do care about fetuses, to be clear. Right? They do think that every fetus should have a right to live. But after the fetus is born to, say, a poor mother, after the fetus is born, well, the fetus should take care of itself. Now, interesting, because Virginia, the Virginia Senator, Bob Marshall, recently said that God punishes women that have abortions because he gives them disabled children afterwards. And apparently, the Republicans want to further punish these women and their children by saying that they really shouldn't have health care. So, which is the competing proposal? I understand the Republicans' point of view. I really do. It's basically, I got mine, Jack. I got mine. I'm super rich. I got millions coming out of my, you know, ears. Why should I care about your poor child? It's not my fault. Democrats have something called compassion. Now, one of the things, though, when we go through the Republican health care plan, you'll see that they don't want to cover the uninsured Americans. They don't want to cover them at all. One of the things that, for example, Senator Barrasso of Wyoming said to Barack Obama, and I've got a whole host of articles here that I'll be going through and quoting from this hour, but he said basically that people should just have catastrophic coverage. So we'll cover the child that's about to die, but not cover the child, for example, who needs a wheelchair in order to get around. So, you know, maybe we'll cover people who are dying, but not cover people for, oh, heart disease or cancer or victims of domestic violence. And he said to Obama, why not just give them catastrophic care? To which Obama said, well, would you be happy with that? And Barrasso said, no, we can pay for more. You understand the difference? Poor people can't pay for more, so they don't deserve more. It's the heart of the difference, and this is a competing philosophy. You want to know why the parties can't get along? Democrats believe that the right to life, I'm not talking about the abortion context, I'm talking about the right to live, the right to be well, the right to be healthy, the right to health care is a human right. Republicans believe health care is a privilege. It's something you pay for. If your mother's dying of cancer and you can't afford the pills, that's not my fault. I didn't make your mother sick with cancer. And the biggest difference between the parties right now is whether or not to fund pre-existing conditions. Republicans will tell you that they want to fund pre-existing conditions in healthcare, but they don't have a way to fund it. Here's what they say. They say if you have a pre-existing condition, for example, let's talk about the pre-existing condition of being raped. Because many health insurance companies will not give health care to a woman who's been brutally raped and beaten, because that's a pre-existing condition. Well, it wasn't existing when she was raped and beaten, but after that point, well, she's got injuries. And why should a health care company have to pay for injuries when she's got this pre-existing condition? Well, Republicans say, look, you got a woman who has been raped, who's been abused, she has a pre-existing condition, we're going to put her with other people with pre-existing conditions, people who are dying of cancer, people who have diabetes, people who have massive heart problems. We're going to put them all in a high-risk pool. We're not going to pool them with healthy people. We're not going to pool them with well people. And then we'll let the insurance companies charge whatever they want. Want to charge $1 million to a woman with domestic violence? Fine. All we do is charge her $1 million a year. If she can't pay it, well, she won't get health care. But she should pay the million, right? Well, President Obama says, look, you can't pool only people in high-risk categories. That will necessarily make insurance rates go up unless you do some kind of federal agency to monitor insurance companies and make sure their rates can't go up. That the best way to have health care insurance is to have insurance. See, the way insurance works, it's really not that hard to understand. I think you know. The way that insurance works is I have fire insurance on my house. And that means that I pay a premium every year. Now, you could argue that's really stupid of me because I've never had a fire. I've never used a bit of it. But I pay it every year for the peace of mind, knowing that if I should have a fire, then, well, my house will be covered. Now, I believe that healthcare insurance should be insurance the same way fire insurance is. In other words, we all pay, the healthy as well as the sick, and that way, if you get sick, you know you're covered. That's how they do it in every other industrialized country on Earth. That's how they do it in our neighbors to the north, Canada. That's how they do it in Europe. That's how they do it in Australia, New Zealand, Japan, and so forth. If you're sick, you know you're covered. You can relax. Now, Republicans will say that's unfair. That's unfair because it will have healthy people pay for sick people. In the same way, it's unfair that I pay fire insurance every year and my house hasn't burned down. Those people who had their houses burned down are lucky. They're lucky. They got the fire insurance money, right? The sick people, the ones dying of cancer, they're lucky, Republicans will tell you. They're making out in the healthcare lottery. I don't see them as lucky. I don't see a person whose house is burned down as lucky. I don't see someone who's got a terminal disease or has been raped or abused as lucky. I see them as getting compensated for some horrible tragedy that has befallen them. I see them as, well, there but for the grace of God go I. Any one of us could come down with cancer any moment. Any one of us could have a horrific accident. Any one of us could be beaten or abused. And at the end of the day, the heart of the competing philosophy between Democrats and Republicans on health care is the same competing philosophy between Democrats and Republicans on everything. For Democrats, we're all in this together. We're all American citizens. Democrats understand that when we are born, if we don't have someone take care of us, we're nowhere. A baby needs help. And when we're dying, when we're old, we also need help. We are born alone and die alone. And in that meantime, we can help those that are newly born or on the verge of death. Republicans' view? I got mine, Jack. Why should I care about you? You're not me. You're someone else. I'm not responsible for you. To the question in the Bible, am I my brother's keeper? Republicans emphatically answer no. I am not my brother's keeper. Not at all. I'm not going to help them at all. So in looking at the healthcare debate, I want you just to compare the question and ask the question of yourself. Am I my brother's keeper? Should I be? What do you think? 888-488-MARK, 888-488-6275.
Here again, The Inside Scoop with Mark Levine.
We're talking about health care reform. In this hour, I want to give you all the details of the bill that is likely to pass Congress. You heard me, pass Congress. We will get health care reform. I'm quite confident of it. I'm willing to bet on it. I think it may take two more months. How will it happen? It's really not that hard. We've already seen how it's going to be laid out. In fact, I predicted it 4 months ago. The House will pass the Senate bill, flawed and all, and then they're going to pass the fixes to the Senate bill through a process called budget reconciliation, a process whereby only the majority rules. And I'll talk a little about that later on. But before I get there, just to finish what I was saying about philosophy, there are some that say, well, Republicans are compassionate. Mark, you're just being silly. Republicans care about other people. Why? They give lots of money to their church. And it's true that some churches give some small amount of money to the poor. It's never enough to take care of them. All the studies show that, we still have poor among us. Even though churches give some money, it's nowhere near what the government gives. But the heart of the difference, I think, is the way people recognize and think about health care. Is health care something you buy like, movie tickets? Or is health care something that people buy because it's necessary to survive? Well, the answer is it's both. It's both. People take pills in order to live, and some people might consider a massage a health care. I mean, I like a massage as much as anyone, but I'll be the first to tell you I don't consider massages to be something that's required. If you want them, pay for them yourself. Listen to the way that Senator Barrasso of Wyoming broached this question with Barack Obama. He said, a lot of people with insurance, they say, my knee hurts. Maybe I should get an MRI. Then they ask if their insurance will cover it. If their insurance covers it, they get the MRI. And if they don't, they don't. And the senator was criticizing those people who said, my knee hurts, I'll get an MRI. I don't think most people enjoy getting an MRI. I don't think an MRI is like movie tickets. And I don't think it's like a massage. I think people who sit, and I've had an MRI, people who sit in that enclosed space while it takes pictures of your body to see what's wrong with you aren't doing it for enjoyment's sake. I mean, I guess you have hypochondriacs. Fair enough. They're every now and then, you know, there may be some small percentage of the population that always thinks they're sick. But I don't think most people enjoy going to the doctor. I don't think most people enjoy stripping nude. I don't think most people enjoy having people poke at them or taking shots or taking pills. I think most people do it because they feel it's necessary for their health or because their doctor recommended it. Interestingly, Senator Barrasso is a doctor. Is he saying that doctors are ordering all these unnecessary tests? Well, whose fault is that? Is it the patient's fault or is it the doctor's fault? Maybe we should prevent doctors from ordering unnecessary tests, but why are you blaming the patient? Anyway, he felt that people just shouldn't get health care for anything but catastrophic, basically emergency room kind of stuff. To which President Obama said, would he be happy with just the catastrophic care? Would that be okay with him? He said, well, yeah, I could get that, and then I could pay for the extra stuff. To which Obama responded, would you feel the same way if you're making $40,000 a year? Because that's the reality for a lot of folks, our president said. Because the truth of the matter, John, is they're not premiers of any place. They're not sultans from wherever. They don't fly into Mayo, the Mayo Clinic, and suddenly decide they're going to spend a couple of million dollars on the absolute best health care. They're folks who are left out. And this notion somehow that for them, the system was working, and if they just ate a little better and were better health care consumers, they could manage it, is just not the case. The vast majority of the 30 million uninsured that we're talking about, they're people that work every day. Some hold two jobs, or they're working for a small business and they can't get health care. If they're self-employed, they can't get health care. And you know what? For them, it's a scary proposition. So that's a passionate difference. It's a difference of philosophy. And again, it's not just health care. Republicans announced today that they're going to deny any relief to people who are unemployed until heirs and heiresses of estates worth more than $7 million can get more than $7 million without taxation. I'm serious. It will cost $138 billion, the Republicans say. They claim to care about the deficit, but this would increase the deficit by a massive number. How many people does it affect? How many people inherit more than $7 million? Well, it turns out of all the estates, all the people who die in America, more than 99% would be unaffected. More than 99.5% would be unaffected. 99.7% of people that die, couples that die, don't have $7 million. But 3 in 1,000 do. And Republicans believe that if you are an heir or an heiress of more than $7 million, that you shouldn't only get $7 million tax-free. You should get $8, $9, $10, $20 million tax-free. You didn't earn it, it's true, and you didn't have to work for it, and you could sit there and, watch TV all day, but you are more important than the person working two jobs and trying to pay rent and trying to get food for his or her family. Why? Because you're rich. And if you're rich, you're more important than the people that are poor. That's the Republican philosophy. And I dare say not a single Republican has ever denied it. And if you disagree with me, give me a call, 888-488-MARK, 888-488-6275. I'd like to know why it is that the Republicans are saying we won't extend unemployment insurance. That's insurance that we all pay for in case we're unemployed. And we won't do it at a time of massive unemployment, 10% almost. We won't do it unless people who are going to inherit more than $7 million can inherit more millions without any taxation. Whatever happened to the American dream? Whatever happened to working hard and playing by the rules? I thought the Republicans didn't like welfare queens. Here's the difference. If you're a poor person struggling to pay rent, struggling to eat, struggling with health care bills, if you're newly bankrupt, for example, and by the way, 80% of bankruptcies are related to health care bills, and 70% of those, 70% of health care bankruptcies, the people had health insurance. It wasn't they didn't have health insurance. They had health insurance. They couldn't afford the massive hike in premiums when they got sick. Republicans consider people who can't afford to pay for health care because their insurance company jacks up the rates three times when they get cancer, Republicans consider them welfare queens. You're sick, you're poor, you're undeserving. Other welfare queens, heiresses, who sit at home and do nothing but have a rich grandfather who dies and gives them hundreds of millions of dollars, you're not a welfare queen. You are an important American citizen. And by the way, will you please contribute to my campaign? That's the difference. Do we believe in equality under the law, or don't we? So when we go through the various proposals, what I want to talk about what is in the plan, because now we have a clear plan. For a long time, it was easy for Republicans to pick on the health care reform plan because there was a Senate plan and there was a House plan and there were competing plans in both houses, and the president hadn't made clear exactly which side he's on. It was very easy to pick apart little things when it wasn't clear what the plan was. Let's talk specifically about what the plan was, and let's compare the Democratic plan to the Republican plan, because there is a Republican plan. The Republican plan is called the status quo. That's the name of the Republican plan. Leave things the way they are. Healthcare costs have doubled in 10 years. Leave that alone. With a few little fixes. The Republican plan, for example, would say that if a doctor leaves a scalpel in your body, you don't need to get it out. Leave it there. It will only cut up your insides, and you shouldn't have chosen that doctor to begin with. Maybe a doctor amputates the wrong arm, accidentally kills your child. Maybe the doctor, don't get me wrong, the vast majority of doctors are good. But a very tiny percentage of doctors commit malpractice. And Republicans want something called tort reform. And it sounds so good, tort reform. What does tort reform mean? Tort reform means that victims who, through no fault of their own, have been mistreated or abused by a doctor can't get any compensation for it. They can't even get the medical treatment they need to undo the damage the doctor did. They're left out. How much would tort reform cost? Well, look at it this way. Out of every $1,000 that is spent on health care, $10 goes to compensate victims of bad doctors. So if you spend $1,000 last year, you could spend only $990, and that way people who are abused by doctors wouldn't get any help whatsoever. Maybe $980. It's 1 or 2% of healthcare costs. This is the Republican big plan. Will it save money? Well, all we have to do is look at cases where it happened. In Texas, for example, they had tort reform. They cut down drastically malpractice awards, and insurance companies raised the rates in Texas some 50%. So it didn't really cut their rates, but it did make, well, insurance companies made a lot of money, so I guess they're happy. That's one Republican plan. The other Republican plan is called Race to the Bottom. They call it insurance across state lines. And you have to understand, because these things sound good, tort reform, insurance across state lines. Why shouldn't someone in New York be able to buy insurance from Mississippi or North Dakota? Why shouldn't they? Well, insurance in Mississippi or North Dakota might well be cheaper. Let's say, for example, that Mississippi doesn't cover victims of domestic violence. Lots of insurance companies don't. It's a pre-existing condition, they say, even if it was caused by a brutal rapist. So Mississippi doesn't cover, let's just say, and many states don't, victims of domestic violence. And you're in New York, which does insist that every person who has health insurance get coverage if they're brutally raped or abused. Well, if we allow insurance companies to cross state lines, then the question is not whether they can do it, but whether or not they have the protections of their state. President Obama has said that he supports allowing people to sell insurance across state lines as long as they obey state regulations. Republicans used to believe in states' rights, used to believe that people should be able to vote for representatives in states that would protect them. But not in this case. In this case, they want the race to the bottom, because they understand that if you don't cover domestic violence, and you don't cover leukemia, and you don't cover cholesterol or heart medicine, if you don't cover most health care, guess what? It's cheaper. The cheapest health care insurance plan of all, no insurance. Nothing cheaper than that. You don't have to pay a penny. So they say, look, 80% of Americans get their insurance from employers. That's the other thing. People don't buy insurance across state lines. Their employers do. And if their employers buy all the insurance from Mississippi, well, victims of domestic violence, they won't be covered. But, well, that's okay. It'll save the employer a lot of money. Part of the difference between Republicans and Democrats, as always, is compassion. 888-488-6275. 888-488-MARK. Where do you stand on the Republican and Democratic health care provision? Let me know.
Here again, The Inside Scoop with Mark Levine.
In the health care debate, one of the biggest ones is when Republicans claim to support working people, when they claim to support competition. There's nothing that seems that Republicans claim to like more than hardworking people, small businesses, competition. Yet they're against it when it comes to health care reform. And it's not just the government option, right? Most Americans, the vast majority of Americans, say we should have a public option. Not necessarily public-run healthcare, the way they do in every other industrialized country, something that many liberals support, but at least an option. Let the government have a way of competing fairly against insurance companies without a profit and see who does better. Well, not only do Republicans oppose the government competing against health insurance companies, Republicans also oppose health insurance companies competing against other health insurance companies. See, health insurance companies have a monopoly in many, many states. In Alabama, for example, 90% of the people who have health care insurance go to Blue Cross of Alabama. There simply are no competitors. How can they do that? Why doesn't the free market have competition? Well, normally when you have a monopoly, there's something called antitrust laws. Laws that have been around for more than 100 years that make sure that one company can't control the entire market. That was set up by in the 1880s and highly supported by people like Teddy Roosevelt. Well, healthcare insurance companies have an exemption. They don't have to play by the rules. They can charge whatever they want. They don't have to worry about competition. In California, Blue Cross just raised the rates 39%. And I can tell you that right here in Virginia, my own rates, and yeah, I'm upset about it, I admit it, they've doubled in more than 3 years. Doubled! Am I twice as sick? I don't think so. But I know this. I pay a heck of a lot more than my parents pay, and both of them are on Medicare. And with all due respect to my parents, they're older than I am. And they, like most people older than I have more healthcare problems than a person that's my age. I mean, that's the secret, right? It's no real shock, it shouldn't be a shock to you, that normally more elderly people have greater healthcare problems than more young people. That's not surprising. And yet Medicare takes care of every American over 65. And Republicans complain, well, it's running out of money. Well, think about it. They have every American over 65. What would happen if Medicare then took people from 55 to 65? They'd have a younger population, less in need of health care, and able to pay premiums. That would help the system, right? And it would take care of the people who are 57 and need health care. But if that's true, why not lower it to 45, or 35, or 25? Why not have Medicare for everyone? Still at the insurance company's practice, and if people choose, because they want to pay that 30% profit margin to Blue Cross, it's a free country. Buy the healthcare insurance. I call it bad because, well, they can't do as much. Medicare has 1 to 3% administrative costs. So, the antitrust exemption. I raised this recently on Fox News, and most of them didn't even know it existed. They didn't even know it existed. But the Democrats did something very important just a few weeks ago. They passed it in the House. They got rid of the antitrust exemption. And when the Republicans were forced to vote on it, they voted overwhelmingly to force health insurance companies to play by the free market. They hadn't fixed it anytime they were in power. But the vote was more than 400 in favor. We'll see if the Senate takes it up. So at the end of the day, what's going to be in the health care proposal? Let's talk about the major differences. Democrats would cover 30 million of the uninsured. Republicans, 3 million. Piddling amount, maybe one-tenth of the same. Democrats would make sure that everyone with pre-existing conditions would be covered. Republicans say if you are raped, that's a pre-existing condition. Sorry. You can pay your premiums every single year, get raped, and then get cut off. And Republicans are okay with that. Think about that. They're okay with that. Democrats say there should be no lifetime limit to health care. If you're sick enough that you need enough health care, then you're sick enough to need enough health care. Republicans say, sorry, you've used up your limit. Time to die. What else is the difference? Democrats, and this is very controversial, require every American to have health care insurance. Now, why is that? This, by the way, was a big fight between Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama in the campaign. Hillary Clinton said everyone should be covered. Barack Obama disagreed. And actually, I think Hillary Clinton was right, and now Barack Obama concedes Hillary Clinton was right. Why should a young, healthy person with no health problems, why should he or she get health insurance to begin with? I think many of you young people are asking yourself that. I'm 25. I'm the picture of perfect health. I don't need health care insurance. Well, that may be true. But you could be in a car accident tomorrow. You could get leukemia next week. It doesn't happen often. You probably won't get it. It's a bet. It's a gamble. But let's say that you are in a car accident. Do you want to not be treated because you don't have health care insurance? Oh, no, no. You'll want to be treated. You'll say, well, it's an emergency. I'll get health and care insurance then. Well, think about that. You don't pay in when you're healthy, and you suddenly get it when you're sick. Now only sick people get health insurance. The system can't sustain that. It is insurance. To say, I don't need it now, I'm healthy, is like me saying, I don't need fire insurance, my house is not on fire. And then to insist, when my house catches on fire, that, well, I get a new house to replace it. It's not fair. Everyone should contribute to the system because everyone can be sick. And everyone, even young people, will one day get elderly. Everyone, we're all mortal, will one day face death. Everyone will need health care at some point or another. And the idea is, well, we all need to help each other, or we all need to do it alone. And that's the heart of the difference between the parties. That's the major difference. There are a few more changes. As I said, both parties would allow insurance across state lines. Republicans believe in the race to the bottom. Go to the state with the least health care. That's where all the employers would go, the one that covers the fewest amount of people. Democrats believe that if you vote for protections in your state, you get to have them. Democrats believe that the government should have a board that ensures that insurance companies can't double their rates every year. Republicans say no, no, let them double their rates. Most of the other restrictions, well, how do you pay for it all? Good question. President Obama has a plan to pay for it all. It's going to cost money to cover the uninsured. It's going to cost money for the poor and middle class to buy health care. That's true. So if you make more than $250,000, there'll be a tax, the same Medicare tax that poor middle class people pay, you'll have to pay it too. See, right now, it phases out over a period of time. Right now, only if you're poor middle class do you pay for these taxes. The rich don't pay them. Now the rich have to pay the same taxes the poor middle class people do. The taxes on unearned income, not on stuff you earn, but you know, maybe on your dividends, on your capital gain stock portfolio, that kind of stuff. Basically money you make just for being rich. All right, that's how Obama will pay for it. The Republicans, well, they don't want it at all. But one thing we do know is that it won't increase the deficit because the Congressional Budget Office says that's enough. That tax, plus a tax on what are called Cadillac health care plans, the really, really expensive ones, over, I think it's, let's see here, over, is it $19,000? $23,000 for a family of four. That's a lot of health care. $23,000 for a family of four? If you have that much health care, then this is just the insurance plan. This isn't how much you get out because you're really sick. This is how much you're paying in premiums. If you're paying $23,000 in premium for a family of four, you probably have what's called a Cadillac healthcare plan. Probably one that includes massages. I don't know, $23,000 for a family of four? Maybe it includes trips to Europe to get healthcare there. I don't know. It seems like a lot to me. I think it's fair to tax that. So at the end of the day, how should this pass? Because many Republicans are complaining not just about the differences between Democratic and Republican health care proposals, but the way it's going to pass. They say, Republicans say, a majority should never pass legislation. That majority shouldn't rule. That when you vote in a majority, the minority should have power. It's an interesting notion. It's counter to democracy. And certainly there are times when the majority shouldn't vote. For example, on minority rights. I would never have the majority vote to take away someone's civil rights. That's certainly true. But when it comes to healthcare policy, why shouldn't majority rule? Republicans insist that majority shouldn't rule. There should be a 60-vote majority in the Senate to do anything important. And that's why they're filibustering not just this legislation, but every single legislation, really, this Democratic Congress has passed. Because they say we need 60 votes. How do I answer those Republicans? I say, we got 60 votes. That's right. A healthcare bill passed the Senate with 60 votes. It's one that, frankly, had some unseedy stuff in it, because in order to get that 60th vote of Ben Nelson of Nebraska, they had to give special benefits to Nebraska. So Republicans complained about the special benefits. I agree. Democrats agree. They say we'll remove those special benefits and we'll do it by majority vote, since Republicans won't vote to remove those benefits. What's the complaint now? Democrats doing what Republicans wanted? What's their problem? If you think we need 60 votes, we got 60 votes in the Senate. Now let's fix it, make it a better bill with only 50 votes. And we do it through a process called budget reconciliation. It sounds fancy, but basically it's a way to get around the filibuster, to get around the 60-vote requirement that Republicans have imposed upon every Democratic piece of legislation, really for the first time in American history. It's never been used as much as before. And Republicans say, well, you shouldn't use a majority vote process for important legislation like this. You shouldn't use budget reconciliation. Well, let's think about it. When has budget reconciliation been used in the past? Has it ever been used on healthcare? Have you ever heard of COBRA? Most of you know what that is. COBRA is the fact that if you leave your employer, you get to take your healthcare insurance with you. It's a wonderful proposal. Came about in the 80s with the Democratic Congress, signed by Ronald Reagan, in fact. Do you know what COBRA stands for? Most Americans don't. It stands for Consolidated Omnibus Budget Reconciliation Act. You heard me. Budget reconciliation. This important health care was passed by budget reconciliation, by majority vote. You know what was also passed by budget reconciliation, by majority vote? The proposal that says that if you are dying, you have a right to get emergency care, even if you're poor. Republicans must hate that one, but it passed by majority vote. You know what also passed by majority vote? Children's health care. The Children's Health Insurance Program that insures one-third of all children in the United States. And SCHIP, they fought over. That also was done by majority vote. Hospice care in Medicare was done by majority vote. Regulation of Medicare and HMOs, done by majority vote. Preventative medical care in Medicare, cancer screenings, done by majority vote. Nursing home care, done by majority vote. We even changed the way doctors and hospitals are paid by majority vote. What is so wrong with majority vote, Republicans? They won't say. Let me hear what you think.
Here again, The Inside Scoop with Mark Levine.
The Inside Scoop, talking about what's actually in the healthcare plan. You know, when people find out what's in the healthcare bill, most people support it. You go proposal by proposal. Do you think, for example, that someone who has been raped and abused should be able to get health care under a normal policy without raising rates to so much that she can't afford it? The vast majority of Americans say yes. People with pre-existing conditions, what if you're born with a genetic disease? Should you be able to be covered by health care? Most Americans say yes. Do you know there are babies today that are born with genetic conditions that can't get health care from the moment they're born? Pre-existing condition happened apparently upon conception. Oh, but don't abort it. Don't have an abortion. Just don't care for the child after it's born. It's the Republican way. Look, Harry Truman said 50 years ago now, actually 55 years ago, he said the principal reason why people do not receive the care they need, health care, is because they can't afford to pay for it. That was true when healthcare was 4% of the economy. One in 25 healthcare dollars in Truman's day went to healthcare. It's four times that now. It's 1 in 6. 1 in 6 of every dollar spent in the entire American economy. Add up all the cars, add up all the houses, add up all the money spent on food and grocery bills and travel, add up all the money spent on schools and healthcare. 1 out of every $6 is spent on healthcare. It has doubled just in the last 10 years. It is likely to double again in the next 10 years. Is that a problem? Most Americans say, yes, it is a problem. So how do you fix it? Well, most Americans, I don't know about most Americans, I think many Americans, I should say, are in the I got mine, Jack school. I don't have to help the uninsured because I am insured. I don't have to help young people get insurance because I'm over 65 and I have Medicare. So there's a proposal in here to help those over 65. Listen close, seniors. If you are over 65, you get closing the donut hole in your prescription drug medication. You know about that. A lot of people who are under 65 may not know, but those of you over 65 know that the prescription drug bill doesn't cover everything over a certain amount. That will now be covered. So yes, you over 65 get it as well. But in essence, I would ask those of you over 65 who are getting Medicare, and 94% of you who are on Medicare like it, why you oppose it for those of us under 65? We can help make it solvent. The Republican plan is to cut your Medicare. Oh, they won't tell it to you, but if you hear Paul Ryan talk with President Obama in the summit, what's his proposal? Cut Medicare benefits. That's his proposal to end the health care problem. Wouldn't you rather the situation be solvent, the system, the Medicare system be solvent? How do you get that? You get young care. Young care. It is young care. It's young people, those younger than 65, putting their part into the system. So what do we get? We get everyone being covered. Maybe not everyone. They think it'll cover 30 million Americans. Frankly, I wish it would go further, but that's still 2/3 of the uninsured. And for those of you with insurance, it's going to cost less. How do I know it's going to cost less? How can it cost any more? That's not a good argument, Mark. Think about it, though. If prices doubled in the last 10 years, and they're scheduled to double in the next 10 years, how is leaving the system alone going to save you any money? In California, they just raised rates 40%. In Virginia, I can only speak for my own rates. Mine doubled in 3 years. That's what, 33%? That's outrageous at a time of massive unemployment, at a time when Americans are suffering, at a time when wages are falling. How are you going to stop it? Well, Barack Obama has a board that would make sure that rate increases are watched by that board. You don't think that can work? Ask yourself about your electricity bills. Ask yourself about your gas bills. How much do they go up a year? Maybe a little bit too much, but there is a government board overseeing it. When Dominion Power or your gas company, Washington Gas, wants to raise your rates 18%, what happens? A government regulator says, that's too much. No, we'll give you 3%. That's all. But that's socialism, you say. Well, maybe it is. Maybe it is. Maybe that little aspect is socialism. Just like Social Security is socialism. Just like Medicare is socialism. Does that mean we're going to have a completely socialist economy? No. We'll still have cars. We'll still have houses. We'll still have competition in phone companies, in what gadget you want to buy, food, restaurants, movies, plenty of competition. No one's talking about an entirely socialist economy. But we do recognize there are certain things you buy, not because you want the latest gadget or you want to eat at the fanciest restaurant, but because you need to live. You need to survive. Already, we have said we have public schools. Is that socialism? Yes. But not too many Republicans. Well, maybe some. Not too many of them want to close down the public schools, right? We understand that we have police and fire paid for by everybody. Is that socialism? It is. Have you ever gone down to Old Town Alexandria or Old Boston or Old Philadelphia? Have you ever looked at the homes and seen that these little plaques? Wonder what those are, maybe with a hose on them or maybe with a fireman's cap. Those were fire insurance plaques. In those days, if you paid your insurance and your house was burning down, they would come put out the fire. And if you didn't, well, your house burned down. Some countries have private police forces. You want police protection? Pay for it. But we Americans accept a little bit of socialism in our lives. It's a dirty word, but we do. We accept a police force. We accept firefighters. Heck, I even drove on a government road to get here today. That's right. It wasn't a private road. I didn't pay a toll. I drove on a government road. It was called the Interstate, and they're expanding it. It's another socialist idea, but a good one. At the end of the day, let's not try to label ideas. Let's try to do the best ideas. Should you pay a toll every time you turn the corner and go on a new road? I don't think so. Should you lose all your earnings and be kicked out of your home because your child has cancer? I don't think so. Should you get a car for free? No. No, we'll leave that to capitalism. So instead of labeling something, let's think about what's best and ask yourself, no matter what situation you're in, if you're uninsured, obviously you support Obama's plan. If you're on Medicare, you're already on a socialized system. Why don't you support it for everyone? And if you're like the 80% of working Americans that get your health care through your employer, ask yourself, do you trust your employer not to race to the bottom, not to buy the Mississippi plan that really ensures you get very little health care at all? Do you trust your employer that much? Do you trust your insurance companies that much? Do you trust your insurance companies not to raise your rates through the roof? Are they your best friends? Who do you trust more at the end of the day? A corporation who believes that every time they pay you money because you're sick, they lose their profits. A corporation that has an incentive not to give you money when you're sick, an incentive to keep you from getting health care, an incentive to keep you from seeing doctors. That, or a government elected by you whose incentive is to make you happy. Have you ever complained to an HMO? Have you ever complained to a member of Congress? Which do you think is more likely to succeed? It may surprise you, but when you complain to your elected representatives, they often feel they have to listen. It's not the same when you complain to a corporation. So I guess the essence of what I wanted to point out is that the differences between Democratic and Republican conceptions on healthcare comes down to the basic philosophies. What is a liberal? What is a conservative? Are we all on this planet together? Are we all our brother's keeper, as the Bible says? Are we responsible one for another fellow human being? Or the liberal conception, or are we in this world alone? We have no one to care for us, and we have to care for no one. I am an island, the conservative says. And if you don't have health care, that's not my problem. Not my problem. I didn't cause your kid to be sick. Which conception do you have? Now, I'd be the first to say that there's better ideas coming out of both parties. Not all Republican ideas are bad. In fact, 160 Republican amendments are in the current bill that Obama is supporting. One of the great ideas I heard, for example, came from Senator Coburn of Oklahoma, a man I disagree with most of the time. But at the healthcare summit, he said, why not, to prevent fraud, every now and then have undercover investigators go in and ask for things they don't need, and we can find out if people are misusing the system? President Obama said, great idea. John McCain said, well, why is it that Florida and Nebraska got special things that my state of Arizona doesn't get? And President Obama said, you're right, John McCain. Every state should be treated equally. There are a number of Republican proposals. In fact, if you read a recent editorial by Kathleen Sebelius, the Secretary of Health and Human Services, in the Washington Post, you can read whole groups of things that Republicans have proposed that are in the current bill, including many things that they now reject, because once Obama accepted them, they rejected their own ideas, including the idea of having a plan for people to combine as one, self-employed individuals, to have an insurance pool, an idea proposed by John McCain in the campaign in the current bill, but John McCain won't support. Why not? Why won't Republicans support their own ideas? Why not? The dirty little secret about health care is that if the Republicans were willing to compromise one iota, they'd get a lot of what they want. A lot of what they want is already in this bill. The example of tort reform. I don't think it's a major problem. I actually think that people who've been mistreated by doctors should be compensated. But if they want them compensated a little bit less, I think Barack Obama would give the Republicans that if they just vote for the bill. the way Congress normally works, or at least did prior to the broken government I talked about at the beginning of this hour, is the majority gets most of what they want. They are the majority. It is a democracy. And the minority gets to put a few things in that they want. The overall thrust of the bill goes the majority's way. A few little bits and pieces go the minority's way. That's America. That's bipartisanship. That's how it normally works. And the secret about healthcare is that if a Republican said, give me this, give me tort reform, give me going across state lines, give me a little bit less tax to the rich people that I support, and I'll support your bill, President Obama, I'm quite confident President Obama would do what that Republican wanted. But not a single Republican has said, give me this and I'll support the bill. Not a single Republican has said, I just want these two things and you got my vote. The Republicans' mantra is start over. We spent a year on this, talking about it in detail, start it over, throw it out. Do you know what start over means in Republican speak? It means don't do anything at all. At the end of the day, if you think healthcare is a problem in America, then you should support the Democratic bill. It doesn't go as far as I and some others would like, but it's a hefty start to making sure that every American gets a chance to live. That won't be hard. If you have any comments, leave them on my website, marklevinradio.com.